Well, we appreciate your prayers this morning. We have some thoughts on our heart. If you'd like to turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. We probably all read this many times, so I'll just read a couple of verses. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die." I've been considering some things about mortality this week, realizing how temporary that time is, that life is for every one of us. But we're all mortal, and one day, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter, that this mortal shall put on immortality. I'm kind of looking forward to that day when that happens for me. I'm thinking about time and opportunity this morning. May seem like a strange message for this congregation, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. Believe me, I have many other burdens too, but this is what I feel the Lord would have us to try to bring out this morning. Time and opportunity. One scripture in Ecclesiastes says, "Time and chance happeneth to us all." And I've been wondering, knowing that I'm going to stand before the Lord, give an account of this life, I wonder if I'm dealing with time properly. I wonder if I'm dealing with life properly. I wonder if, you ever sit around and wonder? I wonder if I'm dealing with the right problems for me. I wonder if sometimes that I don't get it in my mind, this is what God wants and this is what God would have me to do, and get it in my mind instead of really getting down before God and finding out His mind and what He has for me to do and what He wants me to do and how I am to live my life. You see, I don't want to come up short. When that day comes for me, I don't want to come up short. And I often wonder in my mind, Lord, am I doing this right? You see, there's a lot of distractions in the world. There's a lot of distractions around us. And I know how cunning that the devil is to try to get me distracted with things that cause me to think that those things are important, and I leave out the real meaning of what life is all about. Lord, help me. Lord, help us not to get distracted with all the things that are going on around us. Some of us get involved with, for instance, well, maybe not involved, but we look at the things that are happening politically in our country and in our world, and we look at those things. You know, those are really can be a distraction to you and I. Get our minds thinking on things that really we don't have any control of. God has control of it all. He sets up kings and He takes down kings. So it's really not a concern of mine, really. Who does this and who does that? My concern and my purpose. He said, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. My purpose is to pray. That's what the Lord told us to do, is pray. Pray for them that have the rule over you. Isn't that what the Scripture says? So the enemy is just full in his cunning and divisive ways of bringing distractions to our minds and to our thoughts. And once again, I want to say, Lord, am I dealing with the right problems? Am I dealing with superficial things, or am I getting right down to the root problems that I have in my own heart and in my own life? You say, well, I'm saved, we don't have those problems. Folks, the Bible tells us to work out our own soul salvation. And sometimes, yes, even today, I see things about Larry that I don't like. And I see things that I want the Lord to help me to get the victory and the control over, that I can be more faithful to Him, that I can be a vessel to honor Him, that I can lift Him up in with my life, that I can glorify Him and honor Him, because it isn't about me. It's about Him. So, am I dealing with the right problems? Sometimes we think there's some things that are so important, and they may not be that important to God. And I suggest to every one of us, when we go down before Him in prayer, folks, let's ask Him, Lord, what do You want me to deal with? Lord, how do You want me to do things in life? I'm very concerned and been burdened lately, and there'll probably be follow-up messages on it. But I'm very concerned that we are getting so involved with temporary, mortal things, and put them first and foremost in our relationship with God, when the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink, but it's righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to keep the right perspective on life. I want to keep the right perspective on my salvation. And I'll probably repeat this one again too. But I don't want my salvation, my relationship with God, to be based and founded on someone else's convictions. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'll get a little deeper in that one of these days, Lord willing. I want my relationship to be founded with God and me dealing with the right problems. I think that we have been handed some things sometimes that have just been given to us for distractions. And we put those things first and foremost in our relationship with, we make it our salvation. And I don't believe God's pleased with those kind of things. My salvation goes deeper than that. And I trust yours does too. I want to deal with the right problems. Because once again, when I'm standing there, or as the Scripture said, every knee will bow. When I'm bowing before Him, I want to have done it right. And the only way that I'm going to know that I have done it right is if I get His understanding, get His mind on how I am to live this life. Is that right? Time. There's a time to every purpose. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Time has allowed you and I to have a lot of experiences. Just a little handful that of us that are here today, we've all had totally different experiences in life. We've all met circumstances that others haven't met. We've all had to deal with things that others haven't had to deal with. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Time has given you and I the opportunity to have a lot of experiences. You see, through the Spirit that God has given you and I, that He's put within us, He has given us the ability to live a practical side of life. There's a practical side of life. There's a side of life out there, and I hope you understand what I'm saying here and what I mean. There's a practical side of life where we go out and we spend time with our families. We spend time maybe having a little fun doing things that aren't just reading the Bible and praying. Although those are the most important things, aren't they? But there's a practical side of life, and life has its phases. For instance, the writer tells us to live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. We're to enjoy our companions. It's a practical side of life. We live life. We live and breathe and move and have our being here. And God has allowed it to be so. And that's part of what we do in time. And we make choices and decisions in how that we want to do those kind of things. He said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. He said, your children are as olive plants around your table. We love our children. Our children are important to us. It's the practical side of life. It's not the spiritual side that I'm talking about right now, but the practical side, because we're human, we're mortal. God has made you and I a family. He's made you and I to enjoy relationships with our personal families and with one another, and most importantly, with God. He's made us that way. And He's put in the heart of man to do these things and live a practical side of life. I say that I believe that life is full of distractions. I'm going to consider my life for a little bit and talk about how I perceive these things. As we grow up and get into the different phases in life, we soon get involved with life. Now, I submit to you this morning that every one of us has done things, and every one of us has said things and went places and never really just sat down and thought it out to be sure if that's exactly what we ought to do. We're impulsive creatures, in other words. You understand that? We're impulsive. We do things on impulse. Why did I say that? Well, I didn't think first, or I wouldn't have said it. Oh, you put your foot in your mouth that time. Why did I go over there and do these kind of things? Because God has given us a practical side of life. And you and I soon get so involved with life as a young person. We get our friends. We have our pleasures. We go out and look for a job and we have our work. They don't do it today, but back in my day, when I got a job working for General Motors, I was with the same company for 30 years. It's not like that anymore, especially in the IT business and all the electronic business. People find a better job over here, a better job over here, over there. There's no allegiance today. They go where the money is. They go to whatever attracts them, the practical side of life. We make those choices and we make those decisions. There's a time, he said, to every purpose under the heavens. But what is the purpose? What is our purpose from being here? Yes, even though we have a practical side of life and we develop friends and there's certain things that bring pleasure and we have our jobs and we have our family and all these kind of things, but are those the things that are going to sustain us when we stand before God at the judgment? I say they're not. But it's whether or not that you and I took the opportunity with the time that God has given us. We can get so involved with life And I see it. So we see it every day. People forget why they're even here. They look at things and they think, well, that's why I'm here. I'm here to enjoy life and grab the world by the tail and get whatever I can get out of life. That's what I'm here for. That's not what we're here for. These things have a tendency to blind people's minds, to blind people's eyes, and they soon forget, why are we really here? You and I know why we're here. We're here because we are to prepare. Time is to prepare for the longest existence that we will ever have. And that is eternity. That's why we're here. But the practical side of life has caused a lot of people to lose the way. It's caused a lot of people. You see, pretty soon, we develop our likes and our dislikes. Pretty soon we realize the things that we want to do and the things that we don't want to do. The things that please us. There's things that will please you that I may have no desire for, and vice versa. But we soon develop these things as we live life. But the writer said there is a time to be born, and we've all been born here, and there is a time for us to die. And the reality of it is that we're mere mortals, and time's going to run out on every one of us someday. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? Am I letting distractions lead me astray? Am I letting distractions keep me from getting down and close to God and living a holy and godly life before Him? Am I dealing with the right problems? You know, we are so prone today to deal with the causes, but not the problem, the root of the cause. The problem, the root. We deal with the superficial things. But we don't get around, you know, it just come to my mind. For instance, one of the big things today is gun control. Folks, you can do whatever you want. You can't legislate gun control. Now, you might think you can. But folks, the gun is not the problem, is it? That's not the problem. You see, we are so prone to deal with the superficial thing. Well, this is the thing at hand, and that's as far as people can see today. But it's not the gun that's the problem. It takes someone to pull the trigger on a gun. And the problem is all the mental history and all the anger and the things that well up inside of a man that causes him to want to go out and take someone else's life. The root cause. What is living in the heart of men? Not what's living in a gun. A gun is an inanimate object. But the heart of man is eternal, folks. It's eternal. And that's just a little example that just came to my mind. From the moment, and I've said this before, from the moment your heart starts beating in your mother's womb, it's been set in every one of us. Eternity has been set in every one of our lives. We're all going there. We're all going there. We're an eternal being. As far as length, time really doesn't compare to it, does it? But we spend a lot of time worrying about time. Worrying about what we're going to do with time. We spend a lot of time, and it is so temporary. Jesus, He's our example. He's my hope this morning. He already experienced the transition from time to eternity. He already experienced that. And He tells us someday we're going to do it too. Opportunity. Titus 2:11, you know the scripture. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We've all had the opportunity, haven't we? It's appeared to all men. All men. He didn't leave any man out. The opportunity has been made for us with a time to prepare. I got a call last night. I get these kind of calls from time to time. I won't say from where, but from someone among us. Said that a week ago today, last Sunday, they were in service. And there was a young man there that hadn't been service a long time. But he was a grandchild of one of the saints' family of saints. 17 years old. Message went forth. They said he went straight to the altar. He didn't wait on nobody. The brother went down to pray for him, pray with him. He said, "What do you want to do?" He said, "I want to be saved." "You ever been saved before?" "No." "Well, do you know how to pray?" "No. I don't even know how to pray." Time. Opportunity. 17 years old. Do you know we sit around sometimes, some people do, and think, "I'm going to live a long time." Do you know how long you're going to live? I sure don't know how long I'm going to live. The brother said, "You talk to Jesus when you pray just like you're talking to me." So the young man prayed, 17 years old. Never been saved before. Never been to an altar before. When they got done, he said, "Well, how do you feel?" He said, "I feel saved. I feel like the Lord has forgiven me." Last Sunday, he said, "Do you want to stand up and tell the congregation what the Lord's done for you?" He said, "Well, I'm a little shy." He said, "Do you mind if I do?" He said, "I wish you would." So he stood up there with the minister while the minister said, "The Lord saved this young man." That was on Sunday. Friday night, 3 days ago, he went to a party. Someone there got a little angry and upset. Shot and killed him. And I think they killed a young girl that was there. He's out in eternity now. Do you think that was mercy? Do you think God saved him on Sunday just to turn him loose on Friday? I don't. I don't believe that. The God that I know this morning is a merciful God. And it isn't His will that any perish. And I'm going to tell you that reached out and that touched my heart to think that God found a young man that was seeking for Him, didn't know how to pray, didn't know how to seek God, but God gave him someone to help him pray through, and he found God, and his testimony was that he was saved, and he's in eternity today, 17 years old. Time. Opportunity. Do you know there's a lot of foolish people in this world? You say, "Brother Larry, Jesus said, don't call any man a fool." God called him a fool. He said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required." He called him a fool. His old dear brother Austin said one time, "When God calls you a fool, you're a fool. You're a fool." This young man took advantage of an opportunity. His grandma had been telling him, "You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to get saved." Been telling him and telling him and telling him. And he went on and on and on living, I don't know what kind of a lifestyle. But he got saved. That was his testimony. And now he's in eternity. Time and opportunity comes to every one of us, folks. And even those of us that have a testimony of being saved. And I thank God for that. It's coming to us too. And I want you to consider, I'm probably not going to be up here a real long time, but I want us to consider this morning, is the enemy taking advantage of you? Is he bringing distractions in your life or in your mind to cause you not to really deal with the things that you know God wants to deal with? You know, there's a song that says, there's a place in my heart where I'm not willing for you to go. Lord, help us this morning that we don't have any place in our heart that we can invite Him in and He can come in every room of our hearts and do what He wants to do. Folks, the sister prayed a prayer this morning. I paid particular attention to it. For one thing, she said that the ministers would speak with courage and boldness. And another was that we would get a hold of this because we're eternity bound. You said that. We're eternity bound. Every one of us. And as I get older, I guess, as part of it's my age and other things, probably, I think about it. It's not morbid thoughts, but it's the reality of life. Time and chance happeneth to them all. There's a time to be born, and there is a time to die. I've done so many funerals in my lifetime. I was down there last Friday a week ago in Kentucky, and I told one of the sisters, I said, one of these days, we'll be sitting in one of these places, and I'll be up there in that box. She said, I don't even want to think about it. You better think about it. Because the sister also said in her prayer that once we leave here, it's final. It's final. How we leave here is important, isn't it? And I don't want to jump up and be some kind of a Pharisee that thinks I've got everything right and I'm doing everything right. I want to know what God thinks about me. You want to know what God thinks about you? Ooh, I don't know. If I'm willing to open up and let God tell me what He really thinks about me. Folks, we might as well deal with it now. Because you don't want to deal with it at the judgment. You want to deal with it now. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, giving all men opportunity in time. He gave us time to prepare, didn't He? Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any of us in here judges on those kind of things? No. That belongs to God, doesn't it? Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord. Oh, so many times, yes, among us. I've been to funerals and I've heard people say, well, do you think this? Do you think they did this? Or do you think that they did? I did a funeral a couple years ago. And someone said to me, do you really think they made it? Why? Who elected me judge? Who elected me judge? Who elected you judge? Folks, this is serious. Whether somebody made it or not belongs to God. It's in His hands. They had their time. They had their opportunity. They made their choice in how they dealt with God. But it's in His hands. Jesus told us not to judge anyway. One of the things that I think is the most detrimental for people getting saved today is not willing to give up things. Not willing to give up the sinful life. Those things that they developed in the practical side of life, their friends, their pleasures, The things that made them happy and satisfied, they're not willing to give them up. Is there anything, this is a rhetorical question here this morning, is there anything that you can think of that you're not willing to give up for God that you would allow to stand between you and eternity? Is there anything? God's not a cruel God, folks. He doesn't play with us like a kitten plays with a ball of string. He loves us. He cares about us. And He only tells us the things that He wants us to do because it's best for our souls that we do those things. And God knows best. His way is best, isn't it? Not willing to give up. Not willing to let go. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. I don't know how often you read in Ecclesiastes. But the writer here calls life vanity. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. An evil among all things that are done under the sun, and one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that they go to the dead. It's interesting how he puts this. To him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. There's opportunity. As long as there's breath, there's hope, isn't there? For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now we all here this morning know that dog is no match for the power and the strength of a lion. The lion would destroy a dog pretty much in a heartbeat. There's no comparison between the might and the power of a lion and a little dog. Or even a big dog. But he says here, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. While we still have breath and opportunity, we're making choices every day. And it's how we deal with life is that really matters. The living know that they shall die. The dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. The dead doesn't know anything about this life anymore. He's gone. He's dead. He's in eternity. Those are the things that are important to him now. The things that are important to this life, they're not important to him in the grave. So what does he say here? Also, their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Their love, their hatred, their envy. That fellow that chased the man down the highway, the road rage, the guy that got angry because he was cut off and he chases him down the highway and one of them goes out into eternity. There's no memory of that anymore. There's no anger in the grave. There's no envy in the grave. There's no unforgiveness in the grave. We've dealt with unforgiveness all down through the years among our people. Not willing to forgive. Not willing to let go. Folks, that's just nothing but a distraction of the enemy. It's a means to control someone. You know, the devil's very controlling if you let him. It's a means to control. Walked in that room of a dear old sister, got put out of her house and was in a nursing home, and I wasn't there no time, hardly at all, and said, Brother Larry, do I have to forgive those folks that put me out of my house? I said, you know the answer to that. You don't need me to tell you. Jesus said, if we don't forgive them, He's not going to forgive us. And folks, when we get to the grave, none of that matters. Who am I holding? What will I not let go? When I get to the grave, it won't matter then. When I look upon them in the casket, saved or unsaved, folks, it won't matter anymore. Life is vanity and vexation of spirit, the writer says. In the grave, all of this life perishes, folks. Families struggling with one another. Just recently, very recently, I was taken aside by someone, somewhere, not here. And they told me about a family that wouldn't talk to each other anymore. Mom and Dad were gone. Dad just died about a year ago. And they stood there and they said, I've been wanting to talk to you, Brother Abbott, for a long time. I want you to pray for these children. You know them all. They know you. The sisters. Two sisters won't talk to the older sister. The oldest brother don't want to have anything to do with his youngest brother. The youngest brother don't want to have anything to do with the older brother. That's not what I encountered when I was dealing with Mom and Dad. But now this is what's important to them. The oldest brother made the comment, I was told, that when I die, I don't want any of my family. I don't want any of my sisters or my brother at my funeral. You want to leave this world like that? I don't. Am I dealing with the right problems? Have I really got my heart in the condition to meet God? I think that's important. I don't care who we are, or how old we are, or how long we've been saved. Folks, do you realize that you can be saved for 40 years and the devil can come along and work his wily ways and cause you to get things in your heart that you didn't realize was there? Say, you know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. Remember that preacher that I told you about? I can tell you his name. He's dead. He'd been gone for years. Lord showed him that he lost the love of God out of his heart. 15 years ago, he lost the love of God. Went right on through the motions, standing in the pulpit, preaching, teaching, doing all the kind of things, going and praying for people. God have mercy on us this morning. This thing is serious. This is how I present myself before the Lord. Lord, I do not, under any circumstances, want to go to hell. I want, above all things, to make heaven my home. If I have to humble myself and eat dirt, I'll do it, if that's what it takes to make heaven. But I don't want to come down to where I'm dying, and the Lord comes along and says, 15 years ago, you lost the love of God. Do you have a love of God this morning? I'm assuming that we all do, but I don't know your heart like you do. I don't know your heart like God does. But all I know is that this preacher called his pastor and he came and prayed for him because he was a sick man. He said, first I want you to pray for my soul because the Lord just showed me something yesterday. 2 days later, he was in eternity. But God gave him the opportunity to pray through. Time and opportunity. That's my little message this morning. Don't hold things back from God. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't let the devil make you think you're hiding something because you're not. Got to be open. Lord, I'm dust. I'm just dust, Lord. yet you gave me a soul. You know, I've said here many times that if children of Israel, the pain they were with God, if it hadn't been for the souls they had, He would have destroyed them. He would have destroyed them. But He gave us a soul. It's a part of Him. And we're responsible for it. We're responsible for time and eternity. In the grave, all the evil things, anything that has been in my heart that shouldn't have been there, doesn't matter anymore. It perishes with the grave. All I'm really saying this morning, folks, Paul told us to examine ourselves. And I think we all need to do that from time to time. I'm not trying to talk down to anyone here, because I throw myself right in the midst of what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking down to no one, folks. I want you, and I'm interested in you being ready. Don't get caught up with the distractions of the enemy. He was subtle when he got Eve, and he's still subtle today. Someone made the comment that back in Eve's day, he tricked her, and he's had a lot of time to improve on his messages, methods. No. The devil didn't need time to improve on anything. He was evil from the beginning. He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. He didn't have to improve. He goes about, Jesus said, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And sometimes we say, well, that's the poor old sinner out there. I want to tell you, he'll kill and destroy you if he can. And me, if he can. Just a little reminder this morning. Don't know what you think about it, but I feel like the Lord, I had something else, but the Lord impressed this upon me. Look at another scripture, probably my last one. In Psalms, the 90th chapter. Familiar reading, but wise counsel. Psalms 90. Verse 7. We are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Folks, when God shines His light, there is no secrets. He sees and understands it all. I can get up here or down there, wherever, and testify to you that I'm this and I'm that and I'm everything else, but God knows. God knows. And one of these days I'll be given an account of what's really true and what's really been right in my life. He knows. Our iniquities are set before Him. Our secret sins in the light of His countenance. For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. We can spend years, but we can't spend eternity. Because there's no end to it. But we spend our years as a tale that is told. There is no minister that can stand over your casket and preach. Really preach your funeral. You're preaching it. We're preaching it now, folks. We are preaching our funeral now. With the very life that we live. He knows how we conduct ourselves with Him in our secret times and places. He knows. He knows. He knows what our attitudes are with Him. He knows. He knows those things. Our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The interesting thing about this is I've read that for this scripture in many funerals that I've done. Now I realize this isn't a funeral service. But you know what I call this kind of a service? A reality service. Reality. I'm facing reality here this morning. My mortality is at stake. I'm going to lay this body down someday. And when I get to the grave, those things that I've harbored in my heart that God wasn't pleased with, ain't going to matter anymore. But I'm going to give an account of them. I'm going to give an account for holding them. If I got something against you, I'm going to give an account for holding something on you. And yet all along it's been me that's been in the prison. Because that's what unforgiveness does, is put someone in prison. And it skews the way they look at life. It skews the way they handle others when they harbor these kind of things in their hearts. It does. It really does. It causes people not to see the way they ought to see and feel the way they ought to feel. It takes away a person's liberty. It takes away a person's joy. Oh, and it takes away a person's peace. It takes away the peace. It takes it away. I see that picture that I read about over in the third chapter of Revelations, where he says to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Every once in a while, we need to just, let's pull up for a minute and let's consider our ways. Consider your ways. Consider your real heart. The thoughts that you have about others. And the way that you perceive things can be of utmost importance. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I've told you before, that door only has a doorknob on your side. Because he said, if any man will open, you and I got to open the door. I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. I want him to sup with me, folks, every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Wednesday. I want to feel his presence every day. Every hour. I want his approval upon my life. Do you know I beg God for approval? I do. How am I going to get his approval? By living to what I know and understand. By living clear before him. By not allowing distractions. By dealing with the right problems. That is so important. Sometimes we focus on this and we focus on that and we say, this is what we need to do. That's what we need to do. What does God say about what we need to do? That's what I'm interested in for me. What does God say? We'll leave you with this song in our book. I want to read it. 460 has always been a favorite of mine. Fanny Crosby, blind woman, Savior, more than life to me. Is that how you feel about him this morning? I am clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood apply. Keep me ever, ever near thy side. Lord, keep me from distractions, the things that would hinder my walk and relationship with you. Through this changing world below, and it's changing, isn't it? Lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Oh, I hope when we sing these songs in our book that we pay attention to the words. The words are so valuable and so important, and they go right along with the Word of God. Let me love thee more and more. Can we all say that this morning? Till this fleeting life, that's what I've been talking about, is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, talks about this tabernacle. This tabernacle, our bodies. You know what a tabernacle is? It's a tent. It's temporary. Brother's been teaching us about the tabernacle. It was temporary. That's what this body is, temporary. The reality is that I'm going to meet Jesus someday. That's the reality of it. And he says, every day and every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer. Closer, Lord, to thee. I'll tell you something. If you have periods of time that you go through where you don't feel his presence and his nearness, my suggestion is you need to do something about that. You need to do something about it. Even though we live a practical side of life, even though we have relationships, even though we deal with family, work and bosses and things like that, folks, we don't ever want to be far from God. More importantly, we don't want Him to be far from us. We need His presence every hour, every day, every hour. This little old blind lady said, Savior, more than life to me. Wow. That's powerful. This little old blind lady, when she came into the world as a little baby, the doctor put some stuff in her eyes to clear out the mucus and things, and he put the wrong stuff in, and he caused her to be blind from birth. It was the doctor's fault. The doctor made her blind from birth. And yet this woman had such a sweet experience and such a close relationship with God. Savior, more than life to me. She said, I'd love to meet that man that did that and thank him. Whew. Sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? I'd like to thank him because it's meant my salvation. It has caused me to draw. I can't see all those distractions that everybody else is looking at. But it's caused me to have a close relationship with God. And I would love to thank Him. Say, woman, you got to be out of your mind. Savior was more to life than her. Than her life. More than life to her. Lord, help us today. Let's take time to consider. Consider our ways. Consider our hearts. Consider the things that the enemy may be trying to do to distract us. Are we being distracted today? Or do we have our focus where it belongs? I know we have a determination. And I know we have a desire. And I know we have an intent. You know what they say about intent, don't you? The road to hell is paved with intentions. That's what they say about that. Lord, help us today. We can only do what we can to be sure that things are right. But it's going to require a deep honesty. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. These are your prayers. Because I want to make heaven my home. Thank you for your time and attention.